A Guide to Biblical Accountability for Business Leaders, Part 2.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique contexts on the African continent.
How should we practice biblical accountability? Introduction. In part one, we pointed out the problems with making spiritual practices too formal and rule-based, but we are not going to tell you exactly what accountability should look like for you. Each of us should practice accountability based on what the Bible says and the Holy Spirit's guidance. The main idea is that we are accountable to God and that we do this in community. It's important to have honest relationships with people who have shown they deserve to have a say in our lives. Leonard Sweet mentions in his book, 11 Indispensable Relationships You Can't Be Without, that we all need witnesses in our lives. Also, no matter what method you choose, remember that as you gain more life experience and your responsibilities change, the right people to advise you will probably change. Just like moving from single life to marriage requires new advisors, shifting from being an employee to starting your own business means you should seek guidance from one or two people who have the necessary experience and give them full permission to speak into your life. It is also important to have people from different social, economic, and cultural backgrounds in your circle of accountability. They can challenge and support you in ways that people with similar backgrounds to yours might not be able to. Different levels of accountability. We've outlined three levels of accountability to consider in your approach. First, peer accountability. This involves someone like a fellow executive committee member or a colleague who holds a similar position or level of responsibility in the business world. Peers who know us well and understand the specific challenges, pressures, and temptations related to our work can ask us insightful and probing questions. They are often willing to confront us about business choices and personal life. Second, elder accountability. This typically includes older, experienced individuals like board members, Christian leaders, and mentors who can offer advice from their own life experiences. More importantly, they can ask us questions that peers might not consider. They're also better at seeing if we are deceiving ourselves in our responses, and they have a deeper insight into how God may want to use our time, skills, and resources for His glory and the benefit of society. Third, friend accountability. Friends from outside our professional arena may not face the same work-related challenges and temptations as us. This gives them a neutral viewpoint on our behavior, priorities, and goals. They can help us to be truthful about our work-life balance, the state of our relationships, and our dedication to duties and activities beyond work, like family and church involvement. A framework for biblical accountability. Consider using a simple mental image of three concentric circles, moving from the innermost circle outwards as a tool in your thinking. This model is useful for understanding the how of accountability. It reflects the idea that genuine gospel transformation starts from the heart and then expands outward, further than we might initially think possible. The core represents a Godward orientation of self. The humanistic view is that we are naturally good and just need some small improvements here and there. Although this idea might seem good, it is very different from the Bible's view of humans as flawed. Being too optimistic about human nature can lead not only to frequent surprises and disappointments, but can also cause us not to see our need for God and others. From the Bible, I learn that even though I have been made right with God through faith in Christ, I still struggle with a tendency to put myself first, a challenge I can only overcome with daily reliance on God's grace, which comes through His Word, the Holy Spirit, and fellowship with other believers. David's confession in Psalm 51 is a helpful example. After his sin of adultery and being confronted by Nathan the prophet, he begs for God's mercy, admitting he was sinful at birth, sinful from the moment my mother conceived me. This shows a true orientation towards God in recognizing our sinful nature. It's not that we are helpless sinners, But without God's constant grace, we naturally lean towards sin. By recognizing this, David essentially says, I can't lead a life pleasing to you without your help. This shows us a man deeply aware of his need for God and for other people. The second circle represents a God-revealing expression in business. What exactly does a Christian in business need to be accountable for? Traditionally, the church has focused on godliness in the private areas of life, for example, personal devotions, marriage, and parenting. And while these are essential, only focusing on those shows that we think God cares more about our private lives than our public lives, for example, work or social engagements, where we actually spend most of our time. The point is that God is interested in every part of his creation, which is the reason he is restoring all things through Christ. He wants us to honor him in every part of our lives, including both the public and the private spheres. Since God owns everything, he has given us responsibilities that range from our families to our businesses and jobs. This means we should be just as responsible for how we manage people in our businesses as we are for how we treat our family members. The consequences of not living up to these responsibilities may be different, but everything is important to God. We should be asking questions about how God's presence is shown in our interactions with customers and others involved in our business, in how we choose our investors and business partners, in our buying and our billing methods, and in the social and environmental effects of our actions, just as we would think about how God is reflected in our marriage. Although it might seem more natural to start with the questions of marriage, the idea of accountability according to the Bible covers all areas that we are responsible for. The outer circle represents a God-honoring impact on society. This leads us on to the topic of our influence on society. Think back to the story in the book of Genesis where God gave Adam and Eve what we now call the cultural mandate. Here, God gave humanity the role of populating the earth, caring for it, and unlocking its possibilities. So from the start, our duty given by God was to contribute to the growth and well-being of the earth and society, all to honor him. However, when sin came into the world in Genesis 3, it changed how we viewed our responsibilities. Our reasons for working turned towards self-interest, the process of working became painful, and the results of our efforts were less fruitful. The earth, although still full of opportunities, would not release its riches easily. Instead of caring for the environment, our drive for civilization would lead us to its misuse and harm. Social and economic systems would deteriorate, leading to a point where Jesus would later say in Matthew 26, verse 11, "The poor you will always have with you," showing that there will always be societal issues. If you find all of this a little depressing, you are halfway towards understanding why you go to work every day. For the believer, work is not just about earning money or achieving personal fulfillment. It is an ongoing redemption project, a continuous project of making things better. It involves using the skills, talents, and abilities that God has given us to help society and the natural world thrive. And this is done by reducing the negative impacts of sin in every part of our work and industry. This is what Jesus meant when he described his followers as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, Matthew 5, verses 13 to 14. He was saying that Christians should be like a preservative in society by limiting the effects of sin in various areas like hiring, buying, marketing, selling, bookkeeping, paying employees, and taking care of social and environmental duties. Christians are also meant to show the world a better way of doing things, offering hope for the future. But we must remember that the most important thing humanity needs is not thriving cities, but the transformative power of the gospel. Yet if we as Christians take our roles in society seriously as agents of change for the better, we open doors to discuss the deeper reason behind our actions, which is the saving work of the cross. An example from Scripture. Galatians 1 and 2 offer us a great example of biblical accountability. On the one hand, we see what being accountable looks like, and on the other, we see the importance of holding fellow believers accountable. The context is Paul's second visit to Jerusalem, 14 years after his first. Paul stands out among the first apostles because he was chosen by Christ after Christ had died and risen again. Unlike the other apostles, Paul did not have the opportunity to meet Jesus in person while Jesus was on earth, or to be directly taught by him. However, Paul's experience was different from ours because he learnt about the gospel through a direct message from the Lord himself. This is why he confidently shared this message with people who were not Jews without asking for advice from anyone. He only met with the well-known apostles 3 years after he became a Christian, spending 15 days with Peter in Jerusalem before he went on with his work of spreading the gospel. It's clear from this how deeply he believed in the message that had been given to him. Even though Paul was completely certain that his teaching about Christ's gospel was correct, he still chose to be accountable to the early church's recognized leaders. These leaders were chosen by Christ to share the gospel across the world. From Paul's actions, we understand that choosing biblical accountability is a voluntary decision motivated by the desire to honor God. Paul did this to make sure he was not wasting his efforts, that he wasn't incorrectly representing Christ's teachings or failing to honor God properly. His decision to be accountable was not because others demanded it, but because he believed it was the right thing to do. This teaches us that biblical accountability is about your heart, not about external expectations and rules. Right after discussing his own experiences in his letter to the Galatians, Paul shows us how he took the initiative to hold Peter accountable for his actions. It's important to realize that the early Christian community was very diverse, made up of three main groups: ethnic Jews, proselytes, those are non-Jewish people who had adopted Judaism, and Gentiles, people from non-Jewish ethnic backgrounds. Before the spread of Christianity, Judaism played an important role in sharing God's ways with humanity, following the law of Moses. This law included specific rules like male circumcision and certain food restrictions, aimed at keeping the Jewish people distinct and pure according to God's instructions. However, these rules, which were supposed to be a light for Gentile nations, ended up causing division and problems within the new Christian church. This was because some very strict Jewish Christians repeatedly insisted that Gentile Christians should follow Jewish customs. This is why Paul bravely decided to confront Peter. Peter was known for interacting and even eating with Gentile Christians, which was against Jewish laws. However, when some very strict Jewish Christians from Jerusalem came to Antioch, Peter suddenly started to stay away from the Gentile Christians and strictly obeyed Jewish customs over the teachings of the gospel. Unfortunately, Peter's actions confused many Jewish Christians and they followed his example, which was hypocritical. This situation teaches us another lesson about the importance of holding each other accountable. While building relationships and earning the right to advise others is important, Paul challenged Peter to protect the integrity of the gospel. As followers of Christ, we should live according to the gospel's teaching and also kindly remind other believers to do the same when they stray. In short, holding each other accountable according to the Bible means we should be ready to accept advice and also firmly encourage others to follow the right path. Conclusion. All of this to say that biblical accountability in business needs to go beyond what is acceptable to what is redemptive. More than what we can get away with, to what we should be getting on with. This is what worship looks like on Monday morning.
Thank you for joining us. This episode of Reframed was brought to you by Ziwani, a community of business leaders who partner together to live out their kingdom calling in the marketplace within Africa. Ziwani is a Mergon initiative. To know more about us, visit our website at ziwani.com. That's ZIWANI.com.